God to draw you close to himself. Draw me close to yourself, Lord. 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 Thank you, Master. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. Father, we give you the praise and the honor because you are God. We appreciate your goodness, your mercies, your kindness, and your faithfulness. Father, we ask that you'll breathe upon this service this morning. Thank you for all the things we have heard and seen. Thank you for taking us to a new level this morning. We worship you, we honor you, and we adore you. Be thou glorified in Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat. Hallelujah. We thank the Lord for how much he has helped us so far. And I believe he will help us further in Jesus' name. I have 3 things to do this morning. I hope there will be time to finish all of them. The message of last night, we only went halfway, which was meant to be last night's message, the wind and fire of revival. After that, we have the message of this morning. And then, we are meant to have something like a seminar where we take an issue regarding revival in church to handle. If the time is not enough to do all of that today, this morning, then we might continue in the evening. My greatest passion is that the way people have traveled from diverse places, there should be something so heavy to justify the arrivals, and so heavy that when you return back, it is undeniable, like we prayed yesterday, inexplicable but undeniable. You know, when the sons of the prophets tried to dissuade Elisha, and Elisha persevered and continued to follow, he appeared like a fool to them. Why are you going all the way with this man? What are you going to get out of it? And he followed Bethel to Gilgal to Jordan and even crossed over to Jericho, in fact. The challenge will be if Elisha returned and he returned with nothing, he ends in mockery. And in fact, returning was going to be impossible because his master crossed the Jordan with a mantle. And the river closed behind them after they crossed. The challenge would be, how will he come back? Swim across the Jordan or whatever. But he got the mantle. And he came back. And he did not need to tell them that he received something. They saw it. They said it with their mouth. The spirit of Elijah doth rest upon Elisha. What God will do with you from this conference, you won't need to tell anybody. Those who question your followership, those who say you are taking it too far, why do you travel all the way from Canada? Can't you stay there and watch it? Those who question your followership will be the first to testify of your benefits, of your impartation. Pastor George, you came all the way from Turkey, and you came also with other people. From Cyprus also. That's right. They came all the way. You can't return back, so pardon me if I appear to overload us this morning and overload permanently. If you don't remember one, you remember another. And by all means, you remember all of them. In the precious name of Jesus. Stand up again and let us read Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, from verse 1. Everyone, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2 and in verse 1. Let's go. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. Keep going. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, keep reading. In Egypt, and in the pass of Libya about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jewish and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed, and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. The Lord bless his word in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, thank you again for your word. Be glorified in Jesus' name. Please be seated in the presence of the Lord. So this is the wind and the fire of revival, part two. Yesterday we began to define what revival was, and we saw that the revival was the visitation of God upon the earth, a season of intense manifestation of the almightiness of God among a people. Intense manifestation. And then we also said that revival is the invasion of both the climate and the resources of heaven upon the earth. The climate and the resources of heaven upon the earth. Having said all of that, we began to see what to expect in the season of revival. Number one was the sound from heaven. We hear the sound, and those around us will hear the same sound. Number two, the light from heaven. There is something to see in the climate of revival. Number three is the warmth and the wind from heaven. Something to feel. And then number four, the deposit from heaven. The deposition of what is lacking in your faith. Number five is the fullness of the Spirit. This affected so many people. And someone said, I now realize what I've been looking for. I have something inside, but it's not overflowing. I need it to overflow and let it touch the earth and impact the ground. Several people were touched by this loss. Even those who were not here and were watching. The fullness of the Spirit. And number five is the speakings of the Spirit. We saw all of that yesterday night, and we are going to point number seven now, which is the news and noise of impact. Every revival produces the news and the noise of impact. When this was noised abroad. When this was noised abroad. And the news and the noise of revival always goes beyond the vicinity of the revival. It goes beyond the locality of the revival. It was noised abroad and it was mused abroad. It goes beyond the territory of the revival. If it is God that is walking, there will be news. If it is God that is walking, there will be noise, or both. When this was noised abroad. So there is the noise of impact. I like to let you know that impact is audible. Impact is audible. Impact is audible. Impact is visible. Impact is tangible. Anywhere there is the impact of revival, it is visible, it can be seen, it is audible, it can be heard, it is tangible, it can be touched. In John chapter 1 and in verse 1, 1 John chapter 1 verse 1, John began to say concerning the move of Jesus, he said, that which we have seen, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, we have looked upon, our hands have handled. We have heard, that is audible. We have seen, that is visible. We have touched, that is tangible. Every impact of revival, every impact of what God does is visible. It is audible. It is tangible. If there is nothing people are seeing and nothing people can hear positively and nothing to touch, then that revival is in doubt. So there is the news and the noise of impact. And numbers 8, the pool of the multitudes. The pool of the multitudes. The pool of the crowd. When this was noised abroad, the crowd came together. The multitude came together. There is the pool of the multitude. There is the pool of the crowd. It is important to note that the presence of God is a magnet of crowd. The presence of God is a magnet of the crowd. Like we have said, anywhere the cloud is, the crowd must be found. So revival makes church growth effortless. We shall be talking about this later on. The climate of revival makes church growth effortless. The climate of revival makes evangelistic crowds effortless. Evangelistic crowds effortless. And in fact, if you carry the same climate of revival in the work of your hands, in your assignment, even if you are not a pastor, you carry that presence of God in your life, you are a magnet of people. You magnetize crowd. You magnetize people. Very, very important. There is the pool of the multitudes. And I want to announce today, every church here that is battling and every ministry that is battling with crowd of seen people, I declare that battle is over forever. Every church battling with growth, every ministry battling with growth, that battle is over right now in the name of Jesus. That's right. And I hear the Lord say to you, everyone here whose ministry has been bedeviled with negative news and bad news, today that news is replaced with positive news. The news is replaced with positive news. The news is replaced with exciting news. You believe that, shout the loudest amen. There is the pool of the multitudes. Number 9, there is the explosion of praise, worship, thanksgiving. There is the explosion of praise, worship, thanksgiving. If it is revival and it is authentic, there is the explosion of praise, worship, thanksgiving. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving. Jeremiah chapter 30 verse 19. And the voice of them that make merry, and I will multiply them and they shall not be few. And I shall glorify them. I will also glorify them and they shall not be small. Out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that make merry. Every genuine revival leads to an explosion. He said they heard them speak of the wonderful works of God. They heard them speak in their languages, the wonderful works of God. They were praising. They were testifying. Am I communicating? Any pastor of any church who is too big for praise and worship is a pastor that is out of revival. Outside authentic revival. Outside. He's too big for thanks. Too big for appreciation. Too big for praise. You know, in most places, pastors enter the church after the praise worship is over. They are not interested in the praise, in the worship. It's for the children. It belongs to those who are in the flesh. They are not interested in the worship segment. It's not part of what they are looking for. If praise and worship is not a part of your life, something is wrong with you. Something is wrong. And I will say it with audacity. Zephaniah chapter 3 verse 17. The Lord thy God, in the midst of these mighty, he will say, he will rejoice over thee with joy. So God believes in joy. He believes in rejoicing. Rejoicing in the presence of God in the climate of praise is not carnal. He believes in joy. He believes in rejoicing. I'm not through yet. He will rest in his law. And he, Obadabada, will joy over you with singing. Himself singing. Even God does not only believe in singing, he is part of singing. In Genesis, in Matthew chapter 26, I don't know if it's verse 50 or something, when they went to the Mount of Olives with his disciples, they sung an hymn. Jesus himself singing hymns with his disciples. I'm sure the ICT will locate that. Somewhere in Zechariah, Jehovah God himself blew the trumpet. 26:30, and when they had sung an hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Jesus with his disciples. Locate that Zechariah for me. Am I communicating? There is an explosion of celebration, explosion of authentic thanksgiving, explosion of authentic praise, explosion of authentic worship in the climate of revival. Thanks flow effortlessly. Praise like babies. Worship in depth. That climate cries, tears flow effortlessly. As you appreciate the almightiness of God effortlessly. No, I'm not teaching you theory. Many years ago, I went before God. And I was so bothered. And I felt like,
just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and now thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And along that old cross, where the dearest and best for a world of lost sinners was slain. So I'll cherish the old rugged cross till my trophies at last I lay down. I will cling to the old rugged cross, and as the cross, and my faith has found a resting place, not in device nor creed. I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall.
I need no other argument.
I need no other argument. I need no
I said, why is it that when we need songs like this, we go 300 years back? Songs written 300 years ago, 200 years ago, 150 years ago, or some almost 400 years ago. Because those were flames of revival. They were birthed in seasons of deep consecration, deep move of God. And these songs flow naturally. Someone like Charles Wesley, 6,000 of these type of songs. Only him flowed because it was such a climate. The climate of revival, the climate of worship, is a climate of praise, thanksgiving, is a climate of new songs. It flowed from depth. Out of that depth, I was pushed into God. And then it began to rain upon me. Songs. Songs that carry presence, that change climate. Am I communicating? Zechariah 9:14. And the Lord shall be seen over them, and his arrow shall go forth as the lightning. And the Lord God shall do what? Blow the trumpet, and shall go with the wild winds of the south. Wow. God singing over them. God rejoicing over them. God blowing the instrument over them. Take your seat in the presence of the Lord. So there is the explosion of praise. And I want our music ministers to trust God for authentic songs from heaven and not the recycling of melodies and recycling of lyrics. That's the wordings of people's songs. The recycling. One day my wife and I were in the car in Jos and we're listening to a song. This should be so and so person singing. And the person carried on saying, no, it's not her. The sound was exactly alike. Everything was exactly alike. And somebody took that exact likeness and turned it into his or her own song. We listened to another one. We said, this must be this person. Say, no, it's not. This is another person. This is so and so person. No. It's an explosion of thanksgiving. Explosion of praise and explosion of worship. Let me say this. All the things that we talk about in singing or in worshiping God and praising and thanksgiving has nothing to do with a singing voice. It all has to do with a grateful heart. It all has to do with a praiseful heart. It all has to do with a worshipful heart. Somebody say a loud amen. Somebody say a louder amen. Somebody say a loud amen. So there's the explosion of praise and worship. And number 10, there is the impacting of nations. Impacting of nations. Authentic revival is impacting of nations. Let me call it impact beyond borders. Impact beyond boundaries. I am not saying that you should leave where you are and begin to move from nation to nation. If that is not your calling, you will have nothing at all. I am saying that from where you are, somebody can pick something in a nation from what you have said where you are. Even in the days of no internet, one tape cassette travels all over the world. One tape, one cassette. What entered Reverend Ntia's hand in 1992 was one cassette. One cassette. You remember the title? Running with Vision. 1992, he got the cassette. And that cassette's impact has not left him for life. One. Am I communicating? Impact beyond boundaries. When there is revival, no devil can localize you. No devil can localize your impact. Am I communicating? No devil can localize your impact. No devil can quarantine your impact. No. No devil can
can restrict you. No devil can contain you. In the climate of free revival, you cannot be contained. And I stand here with an apostolic and a prophetic mantle to decree today, every devil that is trying to contain you, contain your life, contain your destiny, today their yoke is broken. In the name of Jesus, every wall of limitation that is erected around your life, erected around your destiny, that wall is broken right now. If you are saying amen, shout the loudest amen. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. Say after me, say, no devil can contain me. No devil can limit me. No devil can restrict me. You believe that? Tell three people around you. Tell them no devil can limit you. And I assure you, as you live here, returning back to where you have come from, whatever has existed as a limitation around your life, today I declare that limitation is broken. Sometime the Lord showed a revelation that showed that you can have a church of 50 or a church of that can take 1,000 people, and the enemy constructed another wall inside that will carry only 200. And so try as hard as you can, you don't cross that 200. Meanwhile, the physical structure can take 1,000. But there is a spiritual structure created by the devil to make it not cross 200. Every such structure erected around your life, around your assignment, around your destiny, I decree today it is collapsed. I decree today it is destroyed. Every structure erected around your crusade audience that the devil has said it will never cross a particular level, I decree today that structure is collapsing right now. That structure is dissolved right now. That structure is destroyed right now. You believe that? Shout the loudest amen. Give the Lord the praise. Take your seat. Impact beyond nations. Impact of nations. Impact beyond borders and boundaries. Say, people of all nations, North Africa and so on, Cyrene, they were all part of what was going on. Number 11 is the misunderstanding of the people. Revival is always subject to misunderstandings. Misunderstanding of the people, especially the religious people. Bible said, they saw them and said, this is nothing is going on. They are only drunk. These people are drunk with new wine. Bible said they were mocking them. In seasons of revival, be ready for mockery. Not the mockery of failure, but the mockery of your impact. Because there is a mockery where they mock you that you failed. Where they mock you that your followership is producing no result. There is another mockery where they mock you and saying that the result is not true. It's not authentic. It is fake. It is not real. What is happening is not true. There is something is happening and it's not correct. It's not true. This is not true. It doesn't happen that fast. They may be using something. Somebody said to somebody that is going to disconnect from the person because whatever Bishop Oyedepo is using, he has given me. And if that person is close to me, it means I will give the person. He is saying he collects it. Are you believing what I said? Whatever he is using, he has given me. And I'm likely to give that person if the person remains with me. So the person should disconnect. What a mindset. You need it.
Am I communicating at all? Because people antagonize what they cannot comprehend. They criticize what they cannot comprehend. They antagonize what they cannot comprehend. How is this possible in such an economy? You said you didn't borrow money. You didn't take an overdraft. You didn't do anything. And yet a construction like this was finished in recession. How can you can't say, and then you finish the construction with balance of money in reserve account. As a dedication day, there was balance in reserve. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Balance in plenty zeros. Yes. After dedication. After dedication, there was money in reserve that couldn't be touched until construction finished. You say, and they are saying they should build like dwarf. Where is father and a giant? Oh, where? And in the days we are coming, more dangerous things are about to happen. I'm sure you know that Faith Theater, no, the ARC project is going on currently now. The main sanctuary is over 100,000. The basement can take, plus the basement and overflows, took over 20-something thousand. Alone, over 20-something thousand. Right? That construction is in billions in naira, multi-millions in dollar. Now, someone came and said, I have an offering for the construction. I think that offering must be in six zeros in foreign currency. And that papa said, if it is for this construction, it doesn't need money anymore. But if you want, we can apply it to something else. That is everything that is needed, including chairs, including AC, sound light, the money of all of it. If it is for this project, we don't need one naira either for chair, for light, for sound, for AC, for rug, for anything. But you can bring it in case you want us to apply it to any other thing, let me know. You say, okay, this can be applied to the rural church planting. Level deo. Am I communicating? And some people are saying, what are they? Even the devil can't produce such result. Find out those who sold their soul to the devil. How far? That is those who claim to be serving God and it is devil that they call their father. How far? Am I communicating? One pastor is a bishop. He met me some time ago and he said, he has gone close to some people who claim to be pastors but they are serving the devil. And he has seen my life. He said, if giving themselves to the devil, this was the highest the devil could give them, then the devil is not fair at all. He said, this is one who gave himself to the devil. This is one who gave himself to God. And the one who gave himself to God is far ahead of you. The devil put you under pressure to do some things to serve him. And this one is on this path. Then the devil is not fair at all. He has never been fair. If you hate mockery, forget impact. If you hate ridicule, forget miracle.
I sat in the aircraft from Warri one day. A white man sat beside me. We were very, very friendly.
We were talking, gisting friendly.
He began to ask what I do and so on. And I began to tell him of what I do. And just shared one testimony with him. He got angry on the spot. Got angry on the spot, turned his face. Angry on the spot. Why are you people giving people false hope? I believe that must have been a very deep Satanist. The Satan inside him rebelled. Do you understand what I'm saying? This, they can cope with you if you are normal. If your life is normal. If you are a regular everyday person. But just decide to be a little extraordinary. A little supernatural. And all hell will break loose. Haters don't criticize those who fail. But they will likely pick on Papa Oyedepo. Papa Adeboye. Pick on us. Plenty people who are not doing nothing with their lives. Even those who are just useless people. They won't talk about them. If a brewery rebuild a structure as big as this one, nobody cares. Nobody is aware. Why should it be church? But the more they persecute, the more we go. Archbishop Idahosa said, allow them to backbite. Because backbiting means they are at your back. You see, and I realize that as they are backing your back, you run faster. So that you don't want them, so you just run faster. The more they bite, the more you run. The more they bite, the more you run. The more they bite, the more you run. Until they cannot see your brake light. We are about to give headache to the devil. Hypertension and stroke to Satan. Like he has never seen before. The number of us who will trouble the devil are multiplying globally. If you believe that, shout the loudest, amen. If you believe that, shout amen at the top of your voice. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say a believer's amen. Somebody shout the loudest believers, amen. Give the Lord a praise as you take your seat 1 minute. The misunderstanding of the people is a part of every revival. Every single one, the media, whatever. They will just mock. They will do all manner of things. Oh, these people are faking miracles. Oh, no. They are staging them. Who will be in his right senses and spend the whole of his life faking things and saying it is God doing them? If the person is not a mad, if a person is not a madman or a devil himself, what will it benefit a person to project something that is not real? What a life. And you know, to the unclean, all things are unclean. So because they are very, very crooked in their lives, they think that every upright person is a crooked person. What they expect of themselves is what they expect of others. See, I'm talking now. And I said there was reserve left. After this construction, in their mind, this man must have taken so much money from this church. I mean, how can you say that the church was built in millions and billions? In fact, let's find out what the man has acquired for himself. Because if they are the one there, in fact, this cannot happen. They would eat everything. They would steal everything. They will have private estates and private this and private that and private that. And then the church is just dry there. So they taught everybody, say, God will never entrust until he trusts. Before God can give you big things to handle, he trusts you big time. Until he trusts. So they can't understand that God has entrusted this person with this level of resources because he knows that one dime will not miss out of it.
One dime, one cc. One dime cannot be diverted, one cc. There are projects happening in this church. When the church gives its own, I give my own from my own pocket. At times, is coming from what God gave me outside the church is about 50% of what the whole church is doing. At times it matches it exactly. At times as God leads, He leads us to just take over everything and let the church do something else. Do you understand what I'm saying? They can't understand. God can't trust a thief with a thing like this. It's not possible. He will just leave him at the realm where no matter how he steals, it will make no difference. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. Somebody shout the loudest, amen. Lift up your right hand and say, Father, I thank you because I am on the journey of impact and no misunderstanding or mockery from hell can shake me. No misunderstanding, no mockery from hell can shake me. No misunderstanding, no mockery from hell can shake me. Say again, say, Father, I am on the journey of impact. No misunderstanding, no mockery from hell can shake me. No misunderstanding, no mockery from hell can move me. You believe that? Shout the loudest, amen. Finally, number 12. What do we expect in the revival? The fulfillment of prophecy. This was that spoken by the prophet. The fulfillment of prophecy. 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 Revival has come to fulfill what had been prophesied. When God decided to bring Israel out of Egypt, it was to fulfill a prophecy. So every instrument of revival is a prophecy fulfillment agent. One prayer you can pray is, Lord, use me to fulfill your purpose. Use me to fulfill prophecy, positive prophecy. Where we find ourselves and what we found ourselves doing has been prophesied long ago. People like Pa Elton and even many before him prophesied of what is coming out of Nigeria that will hit the world. Prophecies about what will come out of the North Central. Prophecies about what will come out of our part of the world. While we were in the university, we were praying one time, and God gave us a revelation. Dr. and Mrs. Becky and Encho was in that meeting, and several others, while we were praying. And we saw that the globe was covered with a net, like a fishing net. And the junction of that net were human beings. But this was not human beings, but fire shaped like people. Fire shaped in form of people. Yes. It was a tongues and interpretation. I spoke in tongues. Prophetic tongues. And while the speaking in tongues was happening, God opened her eyes. She was seeing what I was saying. In vision. And this globe was engulfed with fire shaped in form of people, human beings, all the whole globe. It was an efficient net. And then this net was being pulled like a massive harvest. And he said, he's going to scatter people from one spot all over the earth. Men that are fire, not just people. To reap the earth at once. And I want to congratulate you because the fact that you are here means you are part of that net. You are a 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 major part of that net. You are an instrument of prophecy. It's God speaking to somebody here. Stand on your feet and shout the loudest amen. Remain standing. For some of us, since it was prophesied, all you need is to make yourself available, and then he will make you able. So people are wondering at the ability, the energy. You are just a child born for a season. You just happen to be at the right spot at the right time. Your prayer is working, but a lot of prayers went ahead of you. Everybody stand up on your feet. If the only prayer you are going to pray, Lord, let me be a part of the prophecy in my generation. Let me be a part of the prophecy of my generation. Let me be a part of the prophecy of my generation. Let me be a part of your purpose in my nation. Listen, when Samson could lift up a gate with one hand, people wondered, what did he do? Where did he learn it? When he could tear a lion into pieces like you would tear a baby goat, people wondered. But the unction that produced such result was generated before he was born. He stepped in as a child of prophecy. And he mistakenly did not pay attention to his personal consecration because things were happening so easily. And that became his destruction. Things were happening so easily for him. His mother paid a price. Didn't drink some things while she carried the pregnancy that brought him. And so on and so forth. That is why whenever God is moving and you take the glory for it, you may go to hell. Because the move most times is beyond yourself. Am I communicating at all? The whole world is waiting for Nigeria. The whole world is waiting for Africa. Europe evangelized us. We shall re-evangelize them. America sowed great seeds to us. They sent us Bibles. They sent us materials. Was it Hands for Christ? In those days that they did that free library. That's right. Free Bibles, free tracts. They were shipping us tracts en masse. In the 70s, in the 80s. All of them. Now they are in need. They are in need. And they need help from the place that used to be a harvest field. Those of you who are from Southern Africa, all the way up, going all the way to Central, David Livingstone came from Britain and labored in your land. He trekked Zambia, I'm sure you are hearing, Malawi, and all of you. When it was time to die and he died, they carried him on the shoulder, but he demanded that they should bury his heart in Africa. So they removed his heart and buried it here. Only his body went to England. That is, my heart is here. In life or in death, I am here. The England of Livingstone needs help now. Will those who have his heart today fail him? The England of Livingstone is selling churches and turning them to beer palaces. The England of Livingstone, where the queen and the king, his official title is the defender of the faith. Faith in God. Not the faiths as they are saying it now. The defender of the faith. Where the Church of England has an official representation in parliament. The way you say that this person is representing this constituency. This one is representing this constituency. The church was a constituency that has representation in parliament. Today, most of the mayors in England are of the other religion or the other faith. And that same England is looking for help from those who brought us the gospel. It says the first shall be the last shall be the first. We used to be the last. Dark continent, because of not the darkness of our skin, but the darkness of our religion. Now, they are expecting us to come back with light. Will we fill them? Lord, help me to be a part of the prophecy for the evangelization of the world. At times, I don't know what to do with myself. When I see the shadow, and I see the places where needs are coming from. We've been talking of South America, about 3, 4, 5 countries there. You are talking of this and talking of that, and you look at the shadow. Oh, wow. It means let's plan programs all the way to the next 10, 20 years. Where they need you now. The meaning of that is the mantle must be aggressively multiplied. So that those who have come here from different nations, in the nation where you are, things will happen so drastic that they will wonder what has happened. You're going to lift up your hands and we're going to pray right now. Father, let prophecy be fulfilled with my life, using my life in this season of the wind
and the fire of revival. I am available as an agent of prophecy fulfillment. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice and say after me, say, Father,
Father,
I am available
as an agent
for the fulfillment
of prophecy.
I am available
as an agent
for the fulfillment
of prophecy
in my generation.
Help me, Lord,
to fulfill prophecy,
to fulfill
your purpose
in my generation.
Help me, O Lord.
Lift your voice and pray.
I am available as an agent for the fulfillment of prophecy. I am available as an agent for the fulfillment of prophecy in my generation. I am available for the fulfillment of prophecy in my generation. I am available for the fulfillment of prophecy in my generation. I am available for the fulfillment of prophecy in my generation. I am available. 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 I am available as an agent for the fulfillment of prophecy in my generation. Help me, Lord, to fulfill your purpose in my generation.
Thank you.
In the name of Jesus, the Lord has heard and answered us in Jesus' name. Lift up your two hands. I'm taking a song. Holy Spirit, come. Come and have your way. We'll start from the verse. I'm available as an instrument to change the world. Let's lift your voice and we shall take them. I'd like you to make it a prayer. The world is in need of the move of God. Take it from the first verse. I need fire, Lord. Set my heart aflame. It's a prayer.
Oh.
touch of God.
Of the touch of God.
To fill the holy.
To fill the holy.
With the power of God.
With the power of God.
I'm available.
I'm available.
To be used of you.
To be used of you.
All I need, O Lord.
All I need, O Lord.
Is a touch from you.
Is a touch from you.
The one is in me.
The one is in me.
Father, we give you the praise. We give you the honor. Lift up your hands. I sense something happening. That's right. I see a new recruitment. Heaven recruiting. That's right. There are those God was trying to count on you, but you were never there. He's pulling you back to himself right now. Hey! I see some who lost their mantle to carelessness. In one area or in one thing or the other, I see a return, a restoration. A restoration, that's right. Shagadaya. I see someone here badly affected by marriage. And that affected the mantle, affected the grace you carry, affected what you are meant to walk in. I see a restoration right now. A return, a release. Receive now. Help that man there. Mayaya. Moshata kakalala. Mekasata le parada soda. Le parada se baragaradisho. Le parata seda, kala gagadaya dosa, re pata sadila, tera na magagadasa, le parata, something is dropping, something heavy is dropping, something heavy is dropping.
Somebody stepped into compromise and it affected your assignment for God, affected the mantle you are to carry. But I see a restoration right now. A restoration right now. Mahashada Gayada Gagayada. Someone is battling with ancestral altars, generational altars, the altars of your father's house that vowed that you should never amount to anything in life or amount to anything in God. Right now, the altar is catching fire and fresh grace is coming upon you. Fresh release upon you. Fresh release upon your ministry. Receive it now.
Someone here, God is recruiting you to fill up a vacancy. The vacancy of someone that has a mantle that disappointed God and is just strayed completely. And God will always fill vacancy. When Saul fails, God will look for a David to fill that space. And God is causing someone to fill a particular space, fill a particular vacuum, fill a particular ministry vacuum, fill a vacancy. Father, who is that person? Where is it? I ask for the release now in the name of Jesus. That healing anointing on that right hand there, I declare it catches fire, catches fire, catches fire, fire! That spell of depression just disappeared. Disappointment, you're almost giving up in ministry. Things are not working. Did God call me? Did He really send me? Why are things? Why am I still where I am? Why am I stagnated? Why is my ministry not where it should be? I curse that spell of depression. I curse that spell of discouragement. I curse that spell of hopelessness. It is broken right now. I command you to move to the next level. You ask God for something and it appears like God didn't answer you. Like involving the preservation of someone's life and there was meant to be no loss. You are saying, Lord, why? It has affected your faith to believe God for other things. I decree today a restoration. A restoration. A restoration. A restoration. A restoration. In the name of Jesus, Mahashana, restoration, 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 restoration. The devil will not have you. The devil will not have you. The devil will not have you. Will not have your ministry. Will not have your assignment. Let me tell you, that area where the devil has decided to shake your ground, as if your faith is not working. In that area, God will give you a stand. He has tried to mess you up with debts. He will give you the mantle to raise many debts. The mantle for supernatural supplies. Hey! The mantle to delete affliction. Until the devil begins to regret what he tried against you. Begins to regret what he tried against your life. And against your family. Wave your hands and give Him the praise. Give Him the praise. Give Him the honor. Thank you, Master. In Jesus' precious name. Many things have happened, but please take your seat 1 minute. We shall take testimonies. Some at the end of this service. And some in the evening and some tomorrow. If you came from a nation here, please ensure Pastor Victor is here.
like us to ensure, if you are from any of the countries here, ensure that you are in possession of your country's flag by this time. If you are the head of the delegation, you can have the flag by tomorrow. We are going to present flags on this altar tomorrow night and also Friday vigil. Just lay them on this altar and let them soak in the anointing. Let the nations drink of the fire and the power here, and let nations be transformed in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Very, very quickly, I realize I will not be able to preach one of those messages, but I'll take the subject that we are meant to do, more like a seminar, and I'll take that subject. Look again at the book of Acts, chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. Acts chapter 3, verse 1 to 2. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. The Lord bless his word. We can stop there. Jesus' name. The subject is spiritual and supernatural revival. Spiritual and supernatural. It is a revival. It is actual revival when the spiritual and supernatural climate is altered. I'll be dealing on numerical and church growth revival later on in the course of this program, and also on the area of finances in ministry. But our objective is to understand the secret today. Of the revival of the supernatural and the spiritual. I want to start by saying that the most important thing about the church or ministry is not the physical building. It's not the beauty of the design. It's not the comfort of the facility. It's fully air conditioned. Beautiful is aesthetics. It's not the service provision in terms of ushers are very good and protocol and security, everything is nice. Those are all a part of a system that works. They are very important. But the most important aspect, the most important thing about a church or ministry is the density and intensity of divine presence. The density and intensity of divine presence. It is the climate of the supernatural, the climate of the spiritual. It is what people feel, what people see when they encounter it. I'm sorry to say, there are churches today and ministries today, when you step inside, you don't feel any different from being in a nightclub. You don't feel any different from being in a university classroom. You feel as normal as you will feel in a conference center. There's a normal, regular conference. Please take your seat. That was why Moses cried in Exodus 33 and in verse 14. If thy presence go not with me. Okay, from verse 14, Exodus 32, 14. 33, 14.
said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. And he said, if thy presence go not with me, carry us up not hence. If your presence does not go with me, there's no need. The presence of God is the raw material for the building of ministry. Presence of God. Raw material. The presence of God. How shall it be known that we are separate from all the nations of the earth? That was what the next verse said. How shall it be known? How shall it be known that me and my people, we have found grace in your sight, and that you have separated us? The presence of God is the demarcation for ministry. Demarcation. How will it be known that you have separated us? You have demarcated us. You have distinguished us. The presence of God is what gives ministry distinction from other ventures of men. The presence of God is what gives ministry definition, gives it distinction, gives it identification. Miracles can be counterfeited. But the presence of God can't be counterfeited. One woman told me, she followed her husband to a particular place many years ago, and the husband was forcing her to keep on following her there, following him there. But she said to me, I see things happening, I see miracles happening, as if it's magic somehow. But yet, I can't feel God. I can't feel God. I can't feel God. I can't go. I can't feel God. Miracles can be counterfeited. Eloquence is counterfeitable. False prophets, false apostles can preach. They can teach. They have charisma. Charisma can be learned. But what cannot be counterfeited and counteracted is the tangible presence of God. Even though we live in a generation today where sensitivity is low, where people are comfortable, where there is still no presence, that can be counterfeited. That's the first thing I'd like you to know. The most important thing about ministry and church is the presence of God. Number two, second thing to note is the pastor or minister over a ministry sets the pace for that ministry's climate. Sets the pace. The state of the minister affects the state of the ministry. The state of the pastor affects the state of the church. No ministry can be more spiritual than the minister in charge. No church can be more spiritual than the pastor in charge. No matter how hard you try, no church can outgrow the growth of his pastor. No ministry can outgrow the growth of his minister. Hosea chapter 4 and in verse 9. Hosea chapter 4 and in verse 9. He said, and there shall be like people like priests. They shall be like people like priests. And I will punish them for their ways and reward them their doings. Like people, like priests. Every people will turn out according to their priests. One sister said to me,
She mistakenly parked her car somewhere, and law enforcement towed the car somewhere. She thought they had stolen the car or something. And then, when she eventually found where they parked the car, she said, "I am sorry." And they said, "All right, there is a fee to pay for parking where you parked." She said, "All right, you can, what is the fee?" They said, "But it is possible for you, I'm sure you understand where they are going. You can give, just give something, not up to that, something small, and then I will let you go and not pay that fee." He said, "You don't know who I am. That is why you are talking like that. You don't know who I am. Give me the charge. Give me the bill. I will pay it." They gave her the bill, the correct amount. She paid it. And she said, "Because I know where I'm coming from, and I know what I have been hearing." That has been my experience before. On the road, and they say the papers were not complete. We bought the car from the car dealer, and the car dealer gave us all the complete papers. And then on the highway, they say the paper wasn't complete. And I was going rushing for a crusade. And some demon agent there said that, "Well, if you pay this money, it will not benefit you and it will not benefit me." When I heard where they were going, I said, "Look at me very well. Take the car. I'm on my way." You can't stop me. I am on my way for a preaching. What I am about to go and do is more important than the whole of this car. Take it." When they saw the no-nonsense posture, said, "Please be on your way. Lions cannot produce dogs. Am I communicating at all? Everything rises and falls on leadership. So, if the pastor is to set the spiritual climate and supernatural climate for the assembly, what must he do?" Can we go through that? Number one, desperate passion and hunger for God and his power. Desperate passion and hunger for God and his power. Desperate passion and hunger for both God and his glorious manifestation. It is just deep there on a permanent note. Isaiah, Psalm 63 verse 1 to 2. Psalm 63 verse 1 to 2 said, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsted for thee. My flesh longed for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. To see thy power and to see thy glory, the type that I have seen of thee in the sanctuary." To see thy power, to see thy glory, such as I have seen of thee in the sanctuary. Philippians chapter 3 verse 10. He said, "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Am I speaking to anybody here? I call it that hunger that cannot be conquered. When your hunger is conquered, your journey is over. As it is in the spiritual, it is in the physical. When your hunger is conquered, your journey is over. Show me that man in the physical who is no longer hungry, doesn't want to eat food again. How much longer will he live? Only a matter of time
his physical life is over.
When your hunger is conquered, your journey is over.
Our Yereko is still hungry after God till tomorrow. Out on street evangelism every single week. Am I communicating?
When your hunger is...
There are so many people who are satisfied with very little things. Please, don't join people to call Jeep success in ministry.
I just bought a brand new SUV. I just bought the new latest Mercedes. Somebody bought it for me. I just finished building my personal house. And I can fly first class to any crusade right now. And God is just good, man. Wear designer suits. That is survivor. That is mere survivor. Those that brought us the gospel, that was not their success. Am I communicating? Some people have come to the point where they are eating so uncontrollably. Body is out of shape. Everything is just. There is nothing that is occupying this. How many of you know that when real problem hits you, food loses taste? That is why at times in situations of bereavement, people don't talk of eating for 3 days. You are not in food. You are not thinking food. Because something is so serious on your mind that food is not on the schedule. There are pastors, they don't know the last time they fasted. By 12 o'clock, body is shaking. I'm going to come to that shortly. So the whole atmosphere of the church, the people are so light and just light-minded. Very rare before you will see people under their watch that are deeply in the pursuit of God. Because the set man doesn't have that spirit. And what the father doesn't have, the children can't have. A gene that the father doesn't have cannot go into the child. I mean, very unlikely. Am I communicating? This is very, very important. Father, bring me to the point where my hunger cannot be conquered. Anything that will bring me to satisfaction, let me not have it. Spiritus was said, my assignment is to keep you permanently hungry for more. Is to bring you to the point of dissatisfaction with satisfaction. That's how he says it. Dissatisfaction with satisfaction. To bring you to the point of dissatisfaction with satisfaction. Hallelujah. Is God speaking to anybody here? Say amen. And the presence of God goes in the direction of hunger. It goes in the direction of hunger. It goes in the direction of hunger. It goes in the direction of passion. It creates that climate. Number two, deep humility of heart. And what I'm preaching right now applies to everybody. You don't have to be a pastor. If you want to be a candidate for the presence of God, you must possess deep humility of heart. See Isaiah chapter 57 and in verse 15. Isaiah chapter 57 and in verse 15. For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. I am with such a person that is of a contrite and humble spirit to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. If you want to find, if you want to know where to find me, look for the humble. I am there with him.
Humility is an attraction for the Almighty.
James chapter 4, verse 6. Wherein he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble. He resisteth the proud, but he giveth grace to the humble.
God does not dwell in the climate of the proud, in the climate of the arrogant. You will never find him. That is why in most churches and in most ministries, you can't find God. Because set men are so arrogant, so proud. There are those almost allowing themselves to be worshipped by people. You can't find God. You can't find God there. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody say aloud, amen. Somebody shout the loud most, amen. How many of you really want that climate in your life, around your life? Around your life. If you want to make God comfortable, give him your seat of humility. You want to make God comfortable around your life, comfortable in your assignment, comfortable in what you do. Refuse to receive praise from people. Refuse to behave like you are the owner of the church. My wife says, if your wife sees you kneel for God, she will submit to you. The extent to which you humble yourself before God is the extent to which you will command the submission of your wife. Do you understand that? There are many pastors, their church members have never caught them respecting God. They find them preaching. They find them prophesying. But they have never caught the pastor respecting God. He's too big now. Who is he to kneel down, let alone prostrate before God? Inside the service, what would they think? Coming to the point where he's shedding tears, either in worship or in anything, that one is impossible. Too dignified. And he loses composure like that. What would people think? That he's a weak person? Am I communicating? I am telling you practically, you came all the way. I told God this morning, I said, I will tell the people the things that I know. Please, you tell me what I don't know. Very, very important. Act it in your closet. One day we came from a service, and my wife came to the room, right? Yes, she came to the room. And met me on my knees, just finished service. And I had already knelt on the altar, I had already thanked God. Still met me on the knees in the room, prostrated before God in appreciation for help. She said, Aya. And she joined me straight. Put her hand like this. Say, I appreciate you. I appreciate you. Sorry, that was not the intention. Was an illustration. She said, I appreciate you. Your heart is so tender. Just so childish before God. You know, if it is in church, maybe it may look like acting. If it is in front of other people, it may look like acting. Here you are on your own by yourself, on your knees.
One day I was in my study room, I sobbed and sobbed and sobbed. I was worshiping, I was talking to God, and sobbing profusely. Then she walked into the office and saw me sobbing.
things well. She walked out and returned back again. She went out. And at the end, I told her what happened. I think I saw something there. I was practicing. I received a song. One of my songs, I received it, and then I was singing it back to God. I'm sure I'll remember it. And then worshiping and just sob until I was blowing my nose. Voice was gone. Close to you, Lord, I pray. The one they sang today. Close to you, Lord, I pray. Sang all the verse and was meditating line by line. And just releasing it back to him. Right in the closet. And Baba was enjoying himself. And seeing the contriteness of heart. Now, when you come out from such a closet, he follows you out. You just walked in together. People would think that you came alone, but he's just right there. And I tell Pastor, the climate you didn't bring into the service does not exist. You cannot emergently generate. I've seen people who try to generate atmosphere and generate presence. They do this, they do that. But basically, first and foremost, what did you wait till you carry come? This is all a product. You are going to be very big. But never allow it to enter your head. You won't stop people from praising you. You won't stop people from celebrating you. You cannot prevent people from blowing trumpet and making you feel like you have conquered the whole world. You can't stop what they do. You cannot stop their action. But you can check your reaction. You may not be able to check their action or to stop the things they say, but you can control your response and check your own reaction. When they say it, when they do it, what do you feel? You have enough revelation to kill the feeling, because it takes light to quench the night. When I hear things that is intended to blow my head, the first scripture that comes to mind is, what do you have that you have not received? Why do you behave as if you didn't receive it? Calm down. Not of him that willeth or runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. There's nothing you can do if God didn't help you. This is very, very, and that is why consistent consecrational fast is important. Where you go to God to service you, to purge away pride, purge away arrogance, purge away arrival mentality, purge away achievement mentality. Just clean it out of your mind and clean it out of your heart. Deep humility of life, of heart, is critical. Please take your seat. For having a climate of the supernatural and a climate of that is spiritual. Number three is a deep climate of worship and glorification to God. Returning the glory on a consistent basis. The deep climate of worship and glorification to God. Psalm 22 and in verse 20 and in verse 3, he said, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." You are returning the glory back to him publicly, privately. Psalm 89 verse 15. Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of his countenance. 2 Chronicles 5 and 13 to 14. 2 Chronicles 5 and 13 to 14. We saw how the priests lifted up their voices and they began to praise God And then the house was filled with a cloud. Continuous profuse appreciation. Continuous profuse thanksgiving. Continuous profuse glory and honor to God. Continuous profuse. When God is honored, His presence is attracted when you honor Him. The climate is made deeply spiritual and supernatural when God is honored. Please don't let them take any testimony that is focused just on praising and glorifying you. Don't let anybody talk down on another church on the altar in the name of sharing testimony. Am I communicating at all? These are the things that just drive God's presence away. I went to this church. It didn't happen. And they are mentioning church. We warn people. Don't mention any church name here. Went to so and so church. It's enough. If it happened here, it doesn't mean this church is better than another. It means this is where God scheduled it to happen. Can I ask you a question? The man at the beautiful gate, he has been lame since when? And he was above how many years old? 40 years old. And they kept him daily at the temple. Which means Jesus met him there and left him there. Then Peter healed him. So Peter is more powerful than Jesus. That is true now. Jesus met him there, left him there. Jesus met him there, left him there 3.5 years. Jesus went to that. That was the temple Jesus was showing them. See this temple? No stone will be left on another. He left the man there. Peter came and healed him. And so, Peter was more powerful than Jesus. Huh? How can? Why did Jesus not heal the man when Jesus met him? One answer. God must have said from heaven, Papa, Daddy, what about this one? What do I do? One answer. Not now. Not you. Not now. Not you. The time will come. It will be another person. Think God does things like this to humble us. Not now. Not see. So let's calm down. The reason why, so if there is anything God is doing by your hand, it is not your powerfulness. It is according to the counsel of His will. It's according to how He has scheduled it from eternity. So calm down. I've seen people stand and talk and preach down everybody. 50% of the content of the preaching, lies, lies, lies. Evangelistic talks. Not evangelistic, elastic. It's not necessary. So we just finished a crusade. People, there are almost 100,000. Did you count them one by one? 1 million people were at that crusade. Did you count them? All of you here, you've seen crusade crowds, isn't it? When was the last time we gave you a count? Whether the count, that is total count or approximate count. We don't know. You can, it's easy to count people inside church, but it's easy to count people on a field. Most times it's estimate. We have decided even not to estimate. Some people will call that one about 5 million people.
Are you hearing what I'm saying? Now, the team is not up to even 5,000 where he was, and he said there over 500,000 people were there. Calm down. Our lies don't make God bigger. There is nothing we say that makes God bigger. He is big enough yet. We don't need to enlarge his bigness with talk. Somebody say loud amen. Somebody say louder amen. Somebody shout the loud most amen. Deep climate of worship. Number four is perpetual prayer and fasting lifestyle. Perpetual prayer and fasting lifestyle. Scriptures made it clear. Pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. Ephesians 6:18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the spirit. Praying always. John G. Lake said, I run as I pray as I run. That is, everything is prayer, and prayer has become everything. Ephesians chapter 4, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 18. Paul the Apostle said, I pray in tongues more than you all. 1 Kings 17:1. Elijah said, before God whom I stand. Zechariah chapter 4, and in verse 12. Who are these holy... What are these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And then he answered me and said, knowest not thou what this be? And I said, no, my Lord. And he said, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord of the whole earth. Anointed ones, they stand by prayer and fasting lifestyle. Once a week, twice a week, perennial perpetual fast. You want to skip breakfast and some portion of lunch, maybe for the next 20, 21 days, maybe for the next 40 days. It's possible. Just keep your spirit, man, sensitive and sharp and authoritative. Am I communicating? We have a prayer department of this church who will not rest. Prayer day and night. Every first 3 days of the month, number one, September 1, September 2, September 3. Any day it falls in, is 3 day fast, no food. Some of them, I don't think they have what? No food at all. Anything that makes you join the prayer band, be ready for 3 days fasting dry every month. One day I told them, I said, those who cannot do it, allow them. I said, no, if they can't do it, they shouldn't be, there's no need for them to be here. It's a tenacious, continuous, perpetual, perennial, continual requirement. I said, are you sure every day? They're not struggling. They said, no, they can't. And they will be praying hours. Day one, day two, day three. Very strange. And it came from the head. But it's not possible. It doesn't generate itself. Doesn't generate itself. I'm talking about something that has lasted for how many years? Permanent tradition. Literally from scratch. Most of these pastors pass through there. Some people in any department, if the person needs to wake up, they send him to prayer department. So go there before you return back. Oh, they send them to prayer department. Just go and wake up and come back. They say he has been reposted to prayer department from protocol. I know of one of those people from protocol, from ushers. Some people, when they go there, they don't return back again. And then some become members of both departments. Am I communicating? One young man stayed in my house. And after he went to his father's house, his father couldn't recognize him. He said, the fasting I have never done, this boy is doing it. Pastor's child. He said, fasting that I have never dared in my 40-something years of ministry, this boy is doing it. And he's still doing it. He said, Pastor, thank you. You changed my boy. I said, thanks be to God. He is doing it till now. He said, me, I haven't dared the fast. He's daring it. Are you following what I'm saying here today? It is that prayer life. It just cleanses the atmosphere. You are coming, witches and lizards are running. it just spiritualizes the climate. Just sanitizes the air. I see something dropping on somebody here. If you are the one, shout the loudest, amen. If you are the one, shout the loudest, amen. If you are saying amen, say it like a believer. That was number 4. Number 5 is the continuous release of the word. Deep word, insightful word. The continuous release of the word, because the word of God is the carrier of divine presence. John chapter 1 verse 1 to 5, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 21. 1 Samuel chapter 3 verse 21. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. When the climate is saturated with word, it is saturated with Him. Don't get distracted into stories. Don't get distracted into philosophy. Don't get distracted into motivational speaking. There are people today who will preach a whole service, won't quote one scripture. What kind of life is this? Do you understand? Just 21 ways of making money. Number 1, ensure that you make the money. Number 2, ensure that as you make the money, you keep the money. Just the same thing like what unbeliever motivational teachers are teaching It doesn't give any future. People may be happy for a little while, but it doesn't have a future. The kind of ministry that I know is the rugged one, where either you stay with one verse and dig it until you squeeze it. Somebody said, I preached one message once, they said, you squeezed out that verse until there's nothing left to squeeze out of it. Or you ransack from here to there. One day Papa Yedeko came for a meeting and he forgot his sermon note. Well, so he began to preach without his sermon note. By the time he has finished preaching, he has quoted 100 scriptures verbatim. Without sermon note. Without any reference. 100 scriptures. And he quotes scriptures accurately. Without looking and reading. Say, how do you quote scriptures like this? You say, I don't read it, I eat it. And you don't forget what you ate. I don't read it, I eat it. And it's not possible to forget your eating. You understand what I'm saying? Very, very bad. Look at, is there any motivational ministry that is up to that size? In any realm? In any realm. Preach the word. Be instant in season. Out of season. One young man met me many years ago. And he said that he's so confused about this message of grace. He's so confused. So he doesn't know what to preach. So I said, are you okay?
you are okay.
Of everything that you can preach, is it that message that is your problem? All the people that have problem in the church, you finish with them. The afflicted, the tormented, the oppressed, the sinners and all of that.
You know, it's lack of job. That guy has no, I don't think he has a church now.
Even those who preach that thing, don't they are confused themselves. They preach it for a while, change again, and they go again and just keep on confusing their lives.
Okay, how do I preach grace message to handle the problem in Nigeria now? I need an answer.
Or say, don't pay tithe. How does he help Nigeria now?
Live any way you want. Any sin you will commit till you die has been forgiven.
Okay, so all armed robbers should keep on killing people. Kidnappers should keep on kidnapping. Grace covers them.
That is, you are a kidnapper, you are an armed robber, a terrorist. Come, let me lead you in sinner's prayer. Say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. Forgive me my sin. In Jesus' name, you are now saved. Go back and live how you live. So I return back to kidnapping. I am saved now. Grace has covered the future. Very useless talk.
Am I coming? There is too much. The matter is too much. There is too much to deal with in life. The matters are so heavy.
I just ask you a simple question now. How do I preach the grace message now to handle this Nigerian situation?
The sick people that come all the time, how do we handle it now?
There's one funny song in the Idoma language said, your miracle too much, how will we do about this matter? I'm sure somebody here knows the song. The miracle is too much, but I don't know what to do about this matter. Every time I hear this song, I'll just be laughing. Say, whoever composed this song is a comedian. What do you do about it? Carry the miracle and be going. I celebrate God. Praise the Lord. Am I communicating? So there are things that you don't follow. Not everything that is on television you watch and practice. There's a lot of garbage on television.
The internet now has worsened the matter. Everybody has a channel. Everybody is saying all manner of things.
Let's return back to the word. Just get back and stick with the word. Stay with the word. Stick with the word.
Those who are with the word and who are speaking and standing in the center, they are still ahead of every single person
who is planning and claiming to preach. Somebody preach those kind of messages until he closed down his own church.
Big flourishing. You can't pass there and see people anymore.
Somebody say amen.
Just let the atmosphere be saturated.
One thing that people are sure of here is that once they come, they will hear the word. They will see the miracle, they will see the thing, but they will hear the word.
And they are not coming to hear a word that they kept on hearing all the time. There is something new. There is something fresh. There is something that will charge them up. There is something that will add to what they heard before. Am I communicating? They are sure of that. And one thing they are sure of is that they will catch the pastor on Sunday morning. Anywhere he goes in the world, you must find him on Sunday morning.
Church of 27 years, I don't think I've preached on any other altar or pulpit up to four times in 24 or 25 years. On a Sunday morning. On a Sunday morning. As I'm talking now, I'm remembering 1, 2, 3, and 4. Any other one, if I found myself on a Sunday morning, it was in Just Church, at the beginning of the church, and then Liberia Church, I think, on a Sunday. No, I've counted that. Those are the four I've counted. The four I've counted are other pulpits, apart from Dunamis Church. And then one, yes, Israel, yes, yes. And then I went to Venezuela and couldn't get flight back. I was like a fish out of water, you remember? I couldn't get a flight back. I was like fish out of water. That's why some of these things are not luxuries. Well, if you can travel private, some of it is not luxury at all. You save time, you save energy, you save resources, you save everything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're an evangelist, it's a different case. If you're an evangelist and your assignment is going from place to place, that is a different ballgame altogether. What I'm saying doesn't apply. If you're a pastor, try your best and sit with the work. Young Icho sat for 26 years without moving anywhere at the same place before he could start moving anywhere. Hallelujah. Very, very important. But above all, preach the word. Let the word, let the word, let the word, let the word fill the air, saturate the climate, and it will generate the climate of the supernatural and change our nations for God. Somebody say a loud amen. Time is gone, and I'll say two more, and then we are gone. Number six, continuous release of the word, and then continuous submission for impartation. What you receive determines what you release. Continuous submission for impartation. Acts chapter 4 verse 13. They saw the boldness of Peter and John. They perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, but it took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. What you receive determines what you release. Somebody said to me some time ago, he said, when he sees me in Shiloh, and he sees me writing almost everything, I will literally a stenographer. I will write and write and write and write and write. And the man said to me, he said, what are you writing again? You that you preach to us and you say everything to us, what are you writing again? And I looked at him and I said, do you know what? Out of some of those writings of Shiloh, I will come back home with about 26 action points. While I am writing messages and I would one action. That is, I have heard something, I have seen something that I need to take action on. It may not be something I am hearing for the first time, but it may be something that I need to act on immediately. I come back, I pull out the action points, and I run. When you arrive too soon, you arrive too small. There are people, I said premature contentment is the enemy of ultimate fulfillment. Premature contentment. When you become prematurely satisfied, ultimately you can never be fulfilled. Premature contentment is the enemy of ultimate fulfillment. Don't let anybody tell you, you are now a father, you don't need a father anymore. No. Fathers need father. They do. Someone say a loud amen. Someone say a loud amen. Someone say a loud amen. God gave me a buoyant relationship with my father. Gave me buoyant relationship through him to his father. Even though I met his father first. We have a schedule to preach in my degree. I think next month. I just got the invitation yesterday. Light up crusade for my degree. I'm trying to work on my schedule to cancel it so I can be with him. It's a privilege for him to say I should come and stand with him. Am I communicating at all? And in all these actions and moves, submission. He had the Light Up Crusade in Benue State, and the Benue version held in Otupo Town, the town where we grew up. And I wasn't preaching there, but I had to leave here and go there and be with him. That was not all. I have to make
available where he will stay. That was not all. I have to make available where he will stay and be there a day ahead of time to be sure that where he will stay was comfortable.
Are you ready for this? A new vehicle was bought for that event to convey him through that season. He was the first to be in it. And you think that somebody that you have sown the seed of honor and dignity to those ahead of you, and you'll be stranded? No. The grace pours. It pours. I dream, I see him. I dream, I see my father. I dream, I see his father. I encounter. My own encounters happen. Continuous impartation. There are so many people who came to the point in their lives. And this thing about title becomes a major challenge. I'm now a bishop. Nothing is wrong with it. Bishop means overseer. So there are many bishops seated here now. Our regional pastors are all bishops. Oh yes, overseeing territories. Many, many churches under you. I mean, the title is immaterial. No, I'm no longer bishop. I'm now archbishop. In fact, I shift from archbishop. I won't tell you the name. It's a funny story. I hear that there is a place where they give people envelope. That is, come to a particular place, like maybe a government house setting, where they call to pray for the office or the government or whatever every month. And as everybody is leaving, you go with an envelope. But the size is according to your title. If you are pastor, it is lower. It's pastor, then reverend, then bishop, then archbishop. Then one man, I think his church is in a primary school. He gave himself a title higher even than archbishop. Because something, what must come must be higher than that or the other level. It's mockery, caricature. I'm sure you know anybody can become bishop. Now, recently some people were giving bishop cloth. Until they caught one in the market somewhere. Were you not the bishop we saw on television? So you are a person walking on the road like this. It took the police to save him. That the bishop went to buy plumbing materials. So it's likely to be a plumber or something. And they caught him. Those are the kind of criminal people that want to lead the country. They will never smell it. Aiding and abetting criminality. It takes a criminal to organize a criminal event. Praise the Lord. What, some of them forgot to press the bishop cloth. Some wore the cloth that you only wear during services, during officiating of mass. They wore it out. Another one, I think, wore choir gown or something. Somebody say amen. And finally, the possession of the fear of the Lord.
It is a climate, a supernatural climate magnet, the possession of the fear of the Lord. In the book of Psalm 25, verse 12 to 14, what man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him. He will show them his covenant. He is close to them, he is neat with them. What is the fear of the Lord? Definition. Simple. The simplest thing to understand is the exercise of the conscience that is void of offense towards man and towards God. According to Acts chapter 26, 24 and in verse 16. The exercise of the conscience void of offense toward God and toward men. That's simple. It is a conscience that is clear, that attracts the presence of God. To be devoid of a clear conscience is to be devoid of divine presence. To be devoid of a clear conscience is to be devoid of divine presence. When we talk about the financial side and other sides, I will talk more about this. Be real and don't be crooked. Be authentic. Don't be crooked. A conscience that is clear is what guarantees that the presence is there. If the conscience is clear, the presence is there. Beloved, I want you to go forth and exercise your conscience to be clear and devoid of offense. Go forth and experience the revival of the spiritual and the revival of the supernatural. And now you know that once God is there, you don't struggle for things to happen. Things struggle to happen. Stand up on your feet. Did you hear the last statement I made? Once God is there, you don't struggle for things to happen. Things struggle to happen. Things struggle to happen. They happen. They are just under pressure to happen. Things are under pressure to happen. You don't struggle for things to happen. Things struggle to happen. That is the revival that is spiritual and supernatural. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice and let's give him the praise. Lift your hands and lift your voice. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Masha Kokobagadagalala. It's a full load this morning, and we are grateful to him. Thank you, Master. Thank you, Adonai. Thank you, Elion. Thank you, Mekadesh. Thank you, Rufeka. We give you the praise. We give you the honor. We give you the adoration. Blessed be your name. In Jesus' precious name. That woman from Holland said she wishes the climate that she sees when she comes here can be where she is. And then she said, she came to the London meeting and said, oh, I didn't know that you carry open heaven everywhere you go. Father, cause me to experience, to be a carrier, to be a carrier of your mobile presence. Cause me to experience a revival, spiritual and supernatural climate on a continuous basis. Open your mouth and ask God right now. I ask for a continuous climate of the supernatural. A continuous climate. Lift your voice and speak to God.
Lift up your hands. I stand. Lord, I stand. I stand. Holy God, to of praise is to you.
I stand in awe of you.
I stand. I stand.
Of this revival climate, spiritual revival and supernatural revival climate, I need an impartation. I receive an impartation of this spiritual and supernatural revival climate. I need an impartation, and I receive the impartation of this spiritual and supernatural climate. I receive it now. In the name of Jesus, open your mouth and pray. I receive. I receive. I receive. I receive. In the name of Jesus,
so shall it be. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Father, let it be. Let it be. Let something drop. Your two hands everywhere. Omnipotent Father
of mercy and grace, thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, thou art welcome.
Lift your hands high. Thank you, Jesus. Lift it high up. I'll count up to seven. When I say one, you bring it down gently. Two, three. By the time it reaches seven, it is on your head. And at that seven time, once it lands on your head, you just whisper, not shout, Jesus. Once it touches your head, just Jesus. Intimately. Because you are making demand on His presence to rest upon you and to walk with you. Lift your hands. Once it reaches, when I say one, you come down gradually, two, three. By the time it is seven, Jesus. Not a shout. Are you ready? Father, let your presence invade this life now. One. Two. Thank you.
receive his touch of healing. Receive his touch of freedom. Receive his touch of deliverance. Now. 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 And now. Receive his presence. That's right. Help the man there. His presence. Glorious presence. Around your life. Around your family. Around your marriage. Around your destiny. Receive it now. Thank you, Master.
Of mercy and grace, how I dwell amid this place. Omnipotent Father, of mercy and
Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Lord. Take your seat 1 minute. I want 2 or 3 people that received a healing, a deliverance, a touch, very drastic life-changing encounter, 2 or 3 at the most, to let us know what God did for you just now. That's one running out, brother. Please meet him immediately so we don't take time. Just have 5 minutes to close.
Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, how art welcome in this place.
2 or 3 at the most. Just in a few minutes we shall be through. Just be patient a little.
Omnipotent Father of mercy and grace, how I dwell, welcome in.
Yes, you can start immediately for the sake of time.
A pastor said that when you were preaching and you made, gave example of the globe being covered with net, God had given him the name of ministry before which they already registered and started. But it was while you were preaching that the Lord opened his eyes and began to tell him exactly what the ministry is meant to do and what the ministry represents.
Congratulations. Clarity is further released. In Jesus' precious name.
Sister Mercy here said, she's a pastor. She saw, when you say we should place our hands on her head, she saw Jesus touching her head. She told me that the light was so bright. She tried to look at his face. She couldn't see his face. His presence is all over this place.
Thank Jesus. Fresh grace.
Yes. He also said he saw the image of Jesus right on his forehead. Just saw it.
It's congratulations. It's a new season of his presence.
So this Pastor John. He said in 2007 he was shot in the dream of the night on the neck. And that he woke up with excruciating pain. According to him, specifically, because of it, he came that God would touch him. And right now, at the shadow of Jesus, the pain left him. He felt something left.
Evil arrow
is gone.
Returns back to hell. Now, take that final one.
mentioned that somebody's life had been badly damaged by marriage. Our brother said he had a marriage that didn't last beyond 2 years. He lost that marriage after 2 years, and then in the process he was losing his mind. Thoughts of suicide kept coming. At the point he had to take sniper because he wanted to end it all. Kept hearing, end it all. One day he was traveling on his way to Makodi and he heard a voice telling him, jump out of the car. So in the process of jumping out of the car, his pastor called him, a pastor from Makodi called him, where are you now? He said, I'm in a vehicle, traveling. He said, alight from the vehicle now. And hung on the phone until he got to a place where he could alight from the vehicle. He came into the service, sir, with heaviness in his heart, burden everywhere. While you mentioned that declaration, sir, I said the load took off, the burden is gone, and is completely free now.
Declare restoration. Every spirit of suicide, go and return back no more. Father, we give you the praise. Can we all stand up on our feet, everyone? Evening today coincides with communion service. And so we are going to be having the communion, and it's going to be a blast. Ensure you are there. The flag thing is tomorrow night, not tonight, but foreign delegates could just identify. Just be sure that you have your flags. If we don't have it here and you don't have it with you, so we know, so we can make it ready against tomorrow. Very, very important. How many of us have been blessed today? Something new happened to you. Lift your hands. If you are here today, you have not given your life to Jesus, Evangelist Sunday Ogucha, we are happy to have you now. Please give the Lord the praise for Evangelist and Mrs. Sunday Ogucha, all the way from Opo. They came in last evening. We're happy to have you, and we know that it will be a blessing to all of us. Thank you for coming. Lift up your hands everywhere you are. You are in need of surrender to Jesus, or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus, or you are here for the first time. Apart from those who have come in from outside Nigeria, you are here within FCT. You need to surrender your life to Jesus. You need to make your way right with God. You need today to mark a new day for you. Carry your Bibles and carry your bags and quickly rush to the frontier and let us receive you. I'll give you the count of seven. Quickly rush to the frontier and I will receive you. Pastor, I need to give my life to Jesus. Want to be born again. Want my sins forgiven. Want today to mark a new day. Quickly. One.
Give him your life.
Two.
Give him your life. Give him your life.
Three.
He's waiting for you. Give
four.
Him your life.
Give him your life.
Give him your life.
Five.
Give him your life.
Your hand on your chest, all of you, and say, Jesus, come into my life, make me a new person. Today I have decided to follow you, no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you. I declare the hold of sin broken. Grace to live for God is released upon you. Go forth and return with your testimonies in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Give the